Dr. Kalila Gates is joining us right now from Northwestern. She's a pulmonary and critical care specialist. And, Doctor, thank you so much. We'll get to phone calls at 312-981-7200 in case you've got questions about what's happening here. Let's first of all start with the tests. Again, we're still under the protocol here that people who do not have symptoms should not go and get tests, even if they're living with somebody who's COVID-19 positive?
Yes. So we still have a test shortage. And so if you have no symptoms, you should not try to get a test at this point in time. We need to preserve the test for symptomatic patients that we can identify and triage as necessary.
And people who have had the tests, what is the time distance between taking the test and getting the results?
It really depends on where you get the test and where we mail the test off to. So if you are at a hospital in which we have inpatient testing, some of the hospitals can get the test results back within about 6 hours or so. But that's typically for inpatients if they have in-house testing. If we have to send it out to a private lab like Quest or LabCorp, then we're seeing a backup. And so some of the people aren't getting results back for about 7 days or so. So we still have a backup that we are trying to work through as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about clothing. I'm hearing this all the time. Can you actually transport the COVID-19 virus on your clothes and bring it into your home?
So theoretically, yes. This is why you see all of the healthcare workers and things of that nature in the gowns and suits, is that you can, if it's droplet, there is concern that it's airborne as well, you can get that on your clothing and you can potentially bring it into your home. So if you're out and about and potentially exposed, the right thing to do or the most cautious thing to do would be to disrobe and wash those clothes immediately before you kind of go throughout the rest of the house.
Okay, and how I'm trying to weigh the practicality of that versus the actual risk. I mean, are we seeing people who are? Do we know of any actual transmission as a result of that?
We do not know any transmission as a result of that. But what I can tell you, and granted, our exposure is much more significant than people who are just coming and going. But what I can tell you is that as healthcare workers, when we come home, we are disrobing. We are jumping in the shower before we contact any of our family members. And so the potential is there, and the idea is to minimize any potential. Now, you could make the argument that if you're just walking down the street to go get groceries, because that's really the only time that you should be out unless you're essential workers, then your risk is minimal. But my household, we kind of practice outside clothes are outside and we have inside clothes just on a non-COVID day. So this is not a new phenomenon. It just makes us think about it a little bit more.
Oh, man. Now you got me thinking three times about everything that they do around my house. Well, I mean, shoes, that's another interesting issue. Shoes, could the COVID virus be living on the ground? Are we picking it up with our shoes?
It is possible. So the possibilities exist. And the question is, how crazy do we want to go with the possibilities? And those are easy solutions, right? No shoes on in the home. Again, my house did that before COVID came up. We would ask and we would take off our shoes before walking through the house. And so the possibility is there, and it's a simple solution. So I think it's worth at least reevaluating some of these things. I kind of joke with my family a lot that we will never be the same after COVID-19, simply because we're going to reevaluate our personal hygiene practices, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay, this is a question from a texter. They work online in the public every day. I'm sorry, they work in the public every day. And their only protection is hand sanitizer and wipes. Is that enough to stay safe?
So that is enough. So hand sanitizers and wipes with some type of disinfectant like chlorine is enough. Our recommendation is wash your hands as much as possible. If you cannot do that, then we are recommending hand sanitizers. The idea is to keep your hands clean and to keep them away from your face, which serves as areas in which the virus can enter the body. So hand sanitizers are fine. We use hand sanitizers throughout the hospital all day, every day, but also utilizing the opportunity to wash our hands with soap and water as well.
And what's your position on masks? Because it appears that the federal government's going to change their position on masks. A number of weeks ago, the Surgeon General said, no, you don't need a mask, you'll be fine. And now that's changed maybe you should have a mask. In part, there's still a shortage of masks. That's still an issue, obviously. But would you suggest once the shortage ends, and if we're still in this, people get masks and wear them in public?
So masks are interesting. So currently right now, if you go to the CDC's website, they still are not recommending masks for well people, okay? I would not at this point, given the shortage of masks of any sort, recommend that every American wears like a surgical mask, and definitely not an N95 mask. We need those for the healthcare workers, to protect the healthcare workers. And then that goes to the question, are these the cloth masks that everyone are making, are those useful? And I think that there may be some utility to that, particularly for perhaps our asymptomatic carriers, where it's not protecting them, but if they're sneezing, if they're coughing, it perhaps lessens the dispersion of the virus to others. Masks are a little bit tricky because if you don't use them correctly, if you don't take them off and clean them regularly, you still have the same issue of contaminating your hand, contaminating your face, and then you haven't really reduced the burden very much. So there's a little bit of not skepticism, but a little bit of hesitancy to have everyone wear masks when everyone doesn't necessarily know how to use a mask. And so then we negate somewhat the benefit of the mask. For personal comfort, if you have a cloth mask, sure, why not?
It can't hurt theoretically.
It can't hurt, but to advocate use of surgical masks and definitely N95 mask, I think at this point the data is just not there.
All right, let's get to the phones very quickly here. Pete, you're on WGN. We're talking to Dr. Khalilah Gates. Go ahead, sir, very quickly, please.
Sure. I was just going to ask about being able to mitigate it. If the clothes that a person wears, if they went to a store, grocery store, are more like sweatpants and such, they'd be able to take them off and easily throw them into a dryer, I would think, when they got home. And also, on the bottom of the shoes, since plantation workers had in the past brought funguses to different plantations on their feet, it might be a good idea to spritz the bottom of the shoes with some rubbing alcohol.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? Let me get back to the dry. Obviously, alcohol is very good for, rubbing alcohol is good for any of this. Alcohol is good for some of the other things, too, but that's a separate issue. The question about the dryer is one that gets me. Is just putting it in a hot dryer enough to sanitize clothes?
No. So our recommendation is wash and then dry, not just hot dryer. If there's some type of sanitizer type laundry that you use, then the recommendation would be to add that to your laundry before drying.
I got about 30 seconds left, or literally 30 seconds. Are you better off going to a supermarket or having food delivered from a restaurant? What is your thought?
I think it's what you're comfortable with.
The risk is about the same on either side?
Yeah, I think if you take the necessary precautions, if you need to go to the grocery store and you go, it's acceptable risk.
Dr. Khalilah Gates from Northwestern, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We will be calling on you again.